this truth of the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Kenyard Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Kenyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We've got a lot of interesting news that we'd like to talk about. For example, they've got the bones of hobbits they found on an island in Indonesia. Well, no, you've heard about this story, right? We'd like to talk about it from a creationist perspective. Scientists, evolutionists have found bones of what they're calling, just colloquially, just for the fun of it, hobbits, about 3 foot tall creatures that look sort of human. And so that's been in the news. So we'll talk about that from a Christian creationist young earth perspective, what these bones are all about. And then England wants to start taxing computers. That'll be good for their economy, right? And Mel Gibson, he's bought an island in Fiji, the whole island, which is pretty neat. But now nearby villagers are trying to get it from him. So we'll talk about that. They say it's rightly theirs. The day after the U.S. Supreme Court outlawed executing people who were juveniles when they committed murder, you know, we said on this show, Bob Kenyard Live, that day, that simply lowers the threshold for kids to become murderers. And the next day, in Nashville, Tennessee, a student murdered his school bus driver. What a tragedy that was. And in Germany, they've got this just outrageous unemployment. 12.5% of the working age population are unemployed. And so a lot of news to cover. And we'll take your calls if you're interested in any of these topics. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And by the way, a predestination and free will seminar is coming up in Denver and then in Indianapolis. And I'll be hosting it. So Bob Kenyard and our predestination and free will seminar in Denver, March 19th, and in Indianapolis, April 2nd. So if you're interested in either, you can get all the details online at KGov, KGOV.com, or call us here at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. For example, has God planned the events of your life? Your life, where you're at right now. Is everything as good or as bad as it is? Is it all because God planned it all? Or do you have free will and you could do things that are contrary to God's will? These are pretty basic questions, right? But millions of Christians actually are conflicted about these things. And so we'll talk about it. It'll be a fascinating Saturday Bible study from 9 to 3. And you're invited. In Denver, it's $30 and includes lunch. In Indianapolis, registration is $10, which helps to reimburse the underwriters in Indianapolis. So it's less expensive if you go to the Indiana one. And that's April 2nd. Okay. Now, regarding the bones of hobbits, if you've read Lord of the Rings, you know that there are these little creatures about half the size of normal humans, and they're called hobbits, about 3 feet tall or so. And so scientists from Australia were snooping around on the islands of Indonesia, and in a cave, they discovered these bones of short creatures, about 3 feet, 3 foot 4 inch creatures that they're calling hobbits, just for the fun of it. They actually have a scientific name, and the scientific name implies that they are not human beings. They're a different species. They're not Homo sapiens. They're Homo something else's. And so I thought we would talk about that from the Christian creationist perspective. And Answers in Genesis have some great articles on these hobbits. And so I'll talk to you about that. And then in a moment, we'll go to the phones. 1-800-8-NYART. We'll start in Broomfield in 1 minute. But first, okay, the so-called hobbit discovery, it includes one skull and other skeletal remains of a total of 8 individuals. And they found these in an Indonesian island cave. And they're short. They're a little over 3 feet tall. And evidence from the site in this cave shows that They used fire in a controlled way. They had sophisticated stone tools. And so they're apparently seafarers. They're able to get to this island. And they're claimed to be, by the evolutionary scientist, between 18 and 38,000 years old. Now, that'd be quite a trick, assuming that the Earth is less than 10,000 years old. So they'd have to be floating in empty space for about 20,000 years before they land it in a cave. So, of course, that's not what happened. So we believe that they're not that old, as was reported in Nature, the world's premier scientific refereed journal. We'd say they're a lot younger than 18 to 38,000 years old. Now, what's interesting is the bones are not fossilized. They're sort of soggy, like moist cardboard, and they fall apart easily. And the discoverers, the people who discovered them, say, well, they're about 20,000 years old, and they think they are dwarf descendants of Homo erectus. Now, that's like Homo sapiens, only a little bit different. And many creationists, and I agree, believe that Homo erectus is actually like the same thing as Homo sapien, only from a few thousand years ago. And that the human gene pool was more robust back then, and there was more diversity in it, and it's become human beings have become more similar than they were a few thousand years ago. And even today, if you compare African pygmies with Nordic Scandinavians, if you compare those two groups, if you never knew of those two peoples, you know, they're human beings, right? African pygmies are human beings, and they could even mate with Nordic Scandinavians. In fact, it'd probably make an interesting Hollywood sitcom if they did. But if you never knew such people existed and evolutionists found their bones buried, they'd say these were two different species. They're not different species. The one guy's from Scandinavia and the other guy's from the Congo. Come on. They're human beings. They're the same. They're all human. So now, why is it, though, that these hobbit bones, why are they so short? Well, dwarfs. We have dwarfs, right, in the world. And mammal dwarfs, dwarfism, actually is not rare for mammals who dwell on islands. Like in the Mediterranean, Sicily, and on Malta, they find bones of 3-foot-tall elephants. Isn't that interesting? Just over 3-foot-tall elephants. Isn't that cute? Full grown. The Guinness Book of World Records documents short people, including an American actress. Get this, her height, 2 feet 7 inches. And you've all seen her. Her name is Tamara Dutrieu, and she played in Steven Spielberg's movie, she played E.T. She was E.T. 2 feet 7 inches. So, you know, I guess we could call these bones equally either hobbit bones or extraterrestrials, I guess, if we're going to name them based on fiction. Okay, and by the way, this is a problem for the old earthers, the progressive creationists like Hugh Ross, but it fits perfectly with young earth creationism because they're not 20,000 years old. They're not 38,000. They're human beings, and they lived after the flood, so they're only a few thousand years old at most. Well, a month after this analysis that I'm giving you now, which was put together by the Christians at Answers in Genesis, answersingenesis.org, Indonesia's newspaper, their authoritative Jakarta Post, ran an article in November titled "Scientists Refute the Hobbit Man Finding." And the article reports a Dr. Tuku Jacob, who's a paleoanthropologist and a professor at one of their universities, saying the skeleton is not a new species, as claimed by these scientists, but simply a modern human, Homo sapiens, that lived about 1,300 to 1,800 years ago. And they're male, not female. So these paleoanthropologists who want us to think that they could take one tooth and build a whole species of pre-human creatures, they can't agree on the species, the age, or even the sex of these creatures. And millions of people think when they pronounce this here is, we've evolved from this ape right here, and we know it. They don't know it. So at any rate, the evidence is overwhelming that this one hobbit with a small skull actually had something called microcephaly, which is humans born with unnaturally small skulls. And they found a skull virtually identical to a person, a human being, that was buried on the island of Crete just 3,000 years ago. So these hobbits, lo and behold, for those who love Tolkien and hope somehow beyond hope that there really was a Gandalf, these hobbits are not hobbits. They were human beings. And they didn't live 30,000 years ago. They lived in the recent past because the Earth was only created less than 10,000 years ago. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. In Broomfield, Colorado, Danny, speak your mind.
Hey, I just thought I'd let you know, you might have already heard this. They think they found the tomb of St. Paul.
I have not heard that story, no.
Yeah, they found him behind a catacomb. I could be wrong, but there was a plaque that said the Apostle Paul.
Was it in Italy, in Rome?
Right.
Oh, very interesting. When did this news come out?
You know, it's come out in a couple of different places in the last month.
All right.
But I thought that was interesting. I was going to ask you, do you have any plans on doing a program on prophecy?
Oh, that would be fun. And we've talked even recently, Danny, about the end times and whether or not we're in the end times.
One thing, I know this is off your topic, I thought was interesting as a current event was reestablishment of the Sanhedrin. Have you heard that?
Yes, in Israel.
Right.
And the Sanhedrin was the group of rabbis, the religious leaders in Israel 2,000 years ago that was just below the authority of the high priest, for example, Caiaphas at the time. And so the reestablishment of the Sanhedrin, and there are other efforts to reenact some of the biblical structures that existed back in the time of Christ and in the Old Testament. And so there's a question whether or not that's an indication that we are in the end times.
Well, the few things I found really interesting was that they wanted to reestablish the throne of David.
Right.
They found someone who has a male lineage from the throne from David that they're really looking at. And then they've also, from what I've found on the internet, they've found these guys have gotten together and discussed rebuilding the temple and sacrificing something with this Passover season.
Now, let me ask you a question, Danny. With, you know, these details all become fascinating, but sometimes we get caught up in the details and we lose track of the big picture. Do you think we could go to the New Testament and show that the apostles believed Christ's return was imminent, that it could have happened any time and certainly in their lifetimes?
Well, I think the way that everything is set up, I think that's what God wanted. I think he wants everybody to be constantly prepared.
So do you think that they only thought that because they were deceived? Or do you think in reality they were correct in putting into the Bible itself and believing and teaching that Christ could have returned at any time?
I think they're correct.
Yeah, exactly right. You're exactly right. They were correct. And so the things that we take note of, you know, Christians have been doing this on and off for 2,000 years, where they become very excited about the news and the headlines of the day, and generation after generation has become convinced that, look at this news story, this is evidence that we are in the last days. And
I think there's a difference, though, currently. I think there are more so, especially when you compare it to...
Well, Peter thought he was in the last days.
Right.
And so I don't think that you can get something from Reuters that has a greater authority than Peter, who was not only one of the 12 apostles and filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, but then God used him to write the New Testament.
Right.
And so what I think is this. I think that we're so desperate to believe that we're in the last days, and I hope and pray we are. I hope and pray we are, and I hope that I live my life as though the Lord may return at any moment.
Right.
But we're so desperate to want to believe that we're in the last days that we convince ourselves, and we've done studies here at Bob and Yurt Live and at Denver Bible Church, where we go through history and we show the overwhelmingly powerful arguments that Christian leaders used through decades and through centuries to prove that they were in the last days, and they all died, and the Lord never came back. And so, Danny, this is a test I use with Christians who say that we're in the last days. I ask them if they really believe that, or they're just trying to convince others. And usually they'll say they really believe it. I say, what's the time frame? Is it within 10 years or 20 or 30 that you think the Lord will come back? And they usually say, we can't really know, but probably within 10 or 20 years. So at that time, I say, well, I'd like to purchase your home or your church or whatever it is they own for $1,000, and you don't have to make delivery of it for 20 years. So I'll give them $1,000, and they sign over their home and all their earthly possessions. And you know what? I've been offering this for 20 years to people, and no one has ever taken me up on it. And so this is my conclusion of the matter, that Christians who are so excited about end times, they really want to convince others. And in convincing others, it makes them a bit more confident, but they don't really believe it themselves.
That's interesting.
Isn't that? So anyway, I hope and pray we're in the end times, but we only make that argument strongly when we lose the big picture and we forget that the apostles taught that the return of Christ was imminent at any moment. And therefore, there's nothing that could happen in history that could mean he's more likely to return.
Right. I didn't call to incite panic or freak people out or anything.
No, yeah.
I'm just calling because, you know, you really don't hear about these things that are happening that are so interesting that I have a religious undertone to it.
If you watch John Van Impe, you hear about him, right?
Yeah, possibly.
Well, that's the focus of his ministry. I don't know how many years he's had this end times ministry that Christ's return is right around the corner, but it's been my whole life. He must have, for 40 or 50 years, been teaching that Christ is about to return at any moment.
Right.
And most likely, he's going to go to his grave, most likely, and those will be the last words on his lips. He's coming, and then he's going to be dead, and he's going to go to see the Lord before the Lord comes and gets him.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled that he's preaching and that he's bringing people to the gospel. That's great. I just think we have to take the Bible. Well, let me ask, you want to talk about this a little more? I have a few questions to ask you.
Yeah, I got a couple of minutes here.
All right, good, good. Jesus said a number of things to indicate when he would return. And these things are all very consistent, and they're pretty obvious, except that we as Christians were very uncomfortable with what he said, and so we tend to put them all out of our minds. I'll give you an example of a few of them, all right?
Okay.
He said that, speaking to his disciples, you will not have time to go through the villages of Israel before I return. And he said on another occasion, reported in three Gospels, he said, many of you standing here will not die until the Son of Man returns with power in his kingdom. Now that was interesting. He had said, what if I will that the Apostle John remain until I return? And so there was a debate that John would not die, but he would survive no matter how bad the tribulation that hit them, the persecution, he would survive until the Lord's return. And so John had to clarify in his gospel, and he said, Jesus didn't say I would remain, but what if I will that he remain? Jesus said, this generation shall not pass until all these things take place. When you get into the book of Acts, the apostles had all of their converts sell their homes and all their land. They sold everything, and they used all the money for ministry because they believed that Christ was returning soon. And that's why they lived the way they did, basically as communists. Because they believed Jesus was coming back because he told them he'd come back soon. And so in Acts chapter 3, Peter said, in Acts chapter 2 and 3, he said, look, these are the last days. And men of Israel, if you repent, he said, Jesus is in heaven right now. But if you repent, then God will send Jesus back and we'll have our kingdom. So the point is that Jesus said over and over and over that he would come back soon. And we know that he didn't come back then. So as we read through the Gospels, no matter how clearly Jesus made it, and no matter how bluntly the apostles reported it and lived accordingly, we just, our eyes glaze over because we can't comprehend it. And so we sort of make believe collectively, we make believe that Jesus never said he was coming back soon. Now that's quite a mouthful.
Yeah.
But have you thought of those passages, taking them together as a group, that Jesus implied he's coming back soon?
Well, I think soon's relative in God's, you know, I mentioned that God's version of time and ours aren't the same.
Well, is this relative, that he would return before many of them? He said there are some standing here who will not die before the Son of Man returns with power in his kingdom. That can't be relative. That Jesus said, maybe John will remain until I return. And they were selling their homes and their lands. So either we should all be communist, because the first Christians endorsed a communistic economy, or we realized that they believed the Lord was returning so soon that it was worth it to have a short-term outlook on life.
Yeah.
And
well,
that's...
Basically,
I lost you. Danny? All right, I lost Danny. Well, Danny, thank you for an excellent call and interesting topic. And for those Christians who are listening and say, well, yeah, Jesus said all those things, but what's with that? Because he's God. He's God the Son. He's our Creator, our Savior. And so why would he say all those things and then not return swiftly? Because that's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he said in Jeremiah 18. He said, God said that about the potter and the clay, that God's the potter, Israel's the clay, and he wants to build of them a beautiful kingdom. He wants to plant them and give them a kingdom. But he says, if you will not repent, if you don't do righteously, then how can I give you the kingdom I said I would give you? He said, I can't. So in Jeremiah 18, it says that God said, I will not do that which I said I was going to do. I will not do that which I thought I was going to do. I won't do it. So Jesus had promised Israel their kingdom, but he could not deliver because they rejected the king. How could he come back to establish Israel's kingdom when they, as a nation, collectively, they rejected the king? What kind of a kingdom can you have when people hate the king? It's broken. And so the threat from Jeremiah 18, even before that, and through to the book of Acts and in Romans chapter 11 was this. Because Israel rejected their resurrected Messiah, therefore God did not send Christ back to establish their kingdom. Instead, he cut off Israel and grafted in the body of Christ, where Jew and Gentile together can come to God, not through the Mosaic law, not through Abraham's covenant of circumcision, but apart from circumcision. So that Paul says in Galatians 2 that God gave him the covenant of grace, the covenant of uncircumcision. He calls it all these different terms, the gospel of the uncircumcision. And he brought to us the gospel of the uncircumcision in obedience to Christ. God had told Abraham, you have to circumcise and to obey my covenant. And if you don't, you're cursed. And then through the Apostle Paul, God tells us, do not circumcise according to my covenant. If you do, you're cursed. That's a switch. That's a change. And there are so many other changes. So many. It's extraordinary. For example, Israel lived by the covenant of law, and we live under the covenant of grace. Now, under law, you had to do good works. Under grace, you have to believe only. So what must we do for God to forgive us of our sins today? In the body of Christ, here's what we must do. We must believe that God has raised him from the dead. We trust that God has raised Christ from the dead, and we will be saved. God forgives us. Under the law, what did you have to do in order to be forgiven? Well, under the law, you do a work and there's a payment, a debt that's owed then. And so under the law, in order to be forgiven, you first have to forgive. If you forgive, then God will forgive you. That's not grace. That's law. And so Jesus taught the law to Israel that if you forgive others, God will forgive you. That's works. That's not grace. And then Jesus gave to Paul the gospel of grace. And Paul writes on two occasions in Colossians and Ephesians, he writes that we should forgive others because Christ has already forgiven us. Forgive others just as Christ has forgiven you. In other words, under the law, first you forgive others, then God will forgive you. Under grace, first God forgives you, then therefore you might as well forgive others. Under grace, our forgiveness of others is a consequence. Under law, it's a requirement. You get that? And so there's a difference between law and grace. And Jesus was speaking to Israel, and he told them he would come back soon, and he did not. And why did he not? Because Israel rejected their resurrected Messiah. Therefore, God, read about it in Romans 11. Read about it in Luke 13. Right? Read about it in Acts chapter 9 and the next few chapters. Read about it in Jeremiah 18. That Christ said he would return soon and he would be bringing what? His kingdom with him to establish Israel's kingdom on earth. But the problem is that Israel rejected their king. So as Paul writes, God cut off Israel because of unbelief. He grafted in the body of Christ. And Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant to think that this is permanent, but God has cut off Israel in part and for a time. And when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, when he's done with us, then God will return to Israel. That's the overview of the story of the Bible. And in that story, with all the Old Testament prophecies, they had to do with Israel. And all the things that Christ said about his return, it was imminent. And so we could glean a few other details from the New Testament, but most of Christians for 2,000 years, most of our hype about this is the end times, it's completely missed the mark. Because we don't take seriously the story of the Bible. So it's been fun talking about that. And I never got to these other stories. All I got to was the Hobbits. I didn't get to Mel Gibson buying an island in Fiji. I didn't get to the U.S. Supreme Court outlawing the death penalty for juveniles. And the very next day, as we tragically pointed out here on Bob and Yurt Live the day before, this only minimizes, it lowers the threshold for kids to become murderers. But liberals can't think through that, and neither can Republicans, generally. So it's discouraging, but hey, when we stand on the word, we know ultimately we win if we're on God's side. We're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, the best Christian school I've ever seen. Their phone number is 303-431-5653, 431-5653. Come on out to Denver Bible Church this Sunday in a predestination seminar.